Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey everybody, welcome to Just for Variety. Today is January 24th, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. My guest today is funny man Joel Kim Booster. The star of Fire Island is here to talk about his new Freeform series, Chrissy and Dave Dine Out. On the show, Chrissy Teigen and celebrity chef Dave Chang give viewers an inside look at some of their favorite Los Angeles restaurants. Booster hosts a dinner party on each episode with guests including Jimmy Kimmel and Matt Rogers. It was also recently announced that Booster is teaming up again with Searchlight Pictures for his next film. He'll star in the comedy as the best friend of a bride-to-be who is tasked with making sure her wedding goes off perfectly. I talked to Booster over Zoom the day after the Emmys, where Fire Island was nominated for Outstanding Television Movie. But before we get to Booster, I've got an update on Big Little Lies Season 3. Nicole Kidman told Variety at the premiere of her new Amazon Prime Video series, Expats, that she and Reese Witherspoon are texting every day about the third season of Big Little Lies. There's a timeline and we're doing it, Kidman said. Reese Witherspoon first confirmed that a third season was in the works when I talked to her early this month during the Golden Globes pre-show.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Just for Variety. Joel Kim Booster is cooking up something new. He's hosting celebrity dinner parties on Chrissy and Dave Dine Out, Chrissy Teigen and Dave Chang's new restaurant show on Freeform. Hi, didn't I just see you?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right?
So I just saw you at the Emmys. Did you have fun? Your last round.
Oh my God. I had a fucking blast. It was so surreal to be there. You know, I am a classically trained gay guy, so I have been watching the Emmys for the better part of three decades, you know, as a gay child and then a gay adult. And now I am an Emmy nominee. And I never in a million years would have thought that would happen for me. Certainly. When I made Fire Island, I never thought that I would get nominated for an Emmy, mostly because I didn't know that I was eligible for an Emmy, basically, until I was nominated for one, because the rules are very confusing. But the best surprise ever, and so delightful, because quite honestly, TV people are more fun. They just are.
So who did you meet last night that you were just like, oh?
I met Gail and Tom from Top Chef. And those were actually, they were really on the old, I kept telling people, I was like, I don't care about any of these A-list stars. Get me in front of the Top Chef judging panel. Like those are the people that are important to me. Those are the people that like save my relationship week to week. You know, like I just need to see them. And they were lovely and so cool. And Gail, like, obviously could sense that I was gay and absorbed my compliments even deeper because of that.
No, I remember the first time I met Padma. It was like you're Padma.
Yeah. I mean, can't take your eyes off of her.
No, there's that. But then I was just like, you host Top Chef.
She has such a gravitas. It is crazy. I'm so excited for Kristen Kish, who I love. One of my favorite winners of that show. I think she, I think it was there. She's actually the smartest choice to replace Padma on that show, because like, how can you, like, you want someone completely out of Padma's lane.
Yes.
But like, Padma led that show with the gravitas of someone who is like, it's difficult with food competition, because you're going by what they say you can, and your eyes, you can't taste it. But I trust every single time with Padma. I was like, no, she knows. I trust her. I trust her with my life.
So you brought your boyfriend to the Emmys. Who is he excited about seeing?
Also Padma. I'm not sure. He doesn't get starstruck really at this. Like, he's very chill and like sort of taking it all in. He was really excited, actually, to tie it back to the show. He was really excited to meet Jimmy Kimmel's wife, Molly, because we talk in the first episode of Dave and Chrissy's at length about John Michael. And specifically, I ask her about her experience. And obviously, she's, you know, she runs that show. She's not nobody. But like, how does she navigate being in a room with someone where all, you know, the spotlight is on them? Like, how do you, like, you know, maintain your own identity, maintain your own life, maintain your own goals when, you know, your partner's career is sort of at the center stage a lot of the time? Right. And so he watched the episode with me and he was like, I'm obsessed with her. She gets me. She understands me like no one else. And so we met. I introduced them at the Disney after party, and they had a lovely chat and had a very like, we see each other sort of moment.
So let's talk about Chrissy and Dave Dine Out.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get involved with this? What is your official title for the show?
I got involved with it, I think mostly because of Dave. Dave has been a guest star on Loot a couple times, and I get to be very mean to him on that show, which is a lot of fun for me. And I've been a huge Dave fan for a while. Like, I am, have loved his previous television food work. And I think my official title was Agent of Chaos. Chrissy had the earpiece. Producers were feeding her like where we needed to go and what they needed to talk about. And I did not have an earpiece. It was just whatever I wanted to ask and whatever I wanted to talk about. Completely derailing whatever the producers were going for at any given point in time. But I'm just like a naturally curious person. I'm curious about people's lives. I'm curious about the ins and outs of their experiences. And so I think like that really made me a pretty good fit for the vibe that they wanted to create on the show.
I was surprised. I watched it, obviously. And I was surprised by how deep the conversations get. Like, this is not just like, oh yeah, this is salty and this is sweet. Like, you guys, you know, you're talking about race, you're talking about culture, you're talking about sexuality. Was that always sort of the goal there, or did producers say, Joel, just start the conversation?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of like, wind him up and see where it goes.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a lot of talk. I mean, this came together really fast. We had maybe one meeting before we started shooting of like what, you know, I actually needed to do or not do. And Agent of Chaos is really literally the term that came out of that meeting. And it was very much like, you know, don't worry about the structure. That's our job. Just get in there and like, you know, dig deep. And that's what I did. And that's what I do. I mean, that's what I do every weekend at a fucking after party. I'm in the corner talking to some guy from Ohio, trying to figure out what makes him tick.
So is this your sort of audition or foreshadowing of your wanting a late night talk show?
No. Oh.
Because I definitely got those vibes.
Wow. I've never really thought about that. I think, there's a whole like cadre of gay guys, you know, gunning for Andy Cohen's job.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd have to fucking behead Matt Rogers for the job at this point. But yeah, I mean, like, listen, I love to chat. It certainly would be an easy job for me to do, but Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm in this position in my career now where I feel like a lot of people assume that it's like whatever I want to do next, but I'm still very much like, I will take the meeting. I will say yes. You know, I'm still at the mercy of what the industry wants me to do right now too. So we'll see if someone asks.
What's been the oddest or the weirdest pitch you've gotten in this new phase of your career?
A major corporation wanted me to be in a 10-part commercial / Hallmark movie. And that was the weirdest. I think that's the first time I ever said no.
Oh, wait, a 10, what? Explain.
It was a 10-part commercial, but a narrative commercial where they wanted me to play the gay best friend to a woman deciding between two men. And this, I don't know. It was so strange. I said no. It was the first time in my entire career I think I've said no to something that I was able to do. But, you know, yeah.
It was just too bizarre. It sounds very bizarre.
It was the first time where I was like, I actually think I would rather not be working.
Or also make you the guy who needs to decide between two guys and have someone else help you.
I mean, that's the other thing. My thing is like, listen, I know how the industry works. I know that there are a couple more gay best friends in my future. I will play them gladly. You know, but my threshold for the level of project that I will be willing to play a gay best friend in shifted greatly in the last couple of years. You know, like, I'm going to dust off the gay best friend gloves, for, you know, bigger, you know, I'll be the prestige gay best friend, but I'm not going to do a web series about it.
We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I talk to Booster about becoming a foodie, his favorite meal, and the one thing he really hates eating. Plus, he weighs in on Joe Coy's disastrous debut as the host of the Emmys. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm Mark Malkin. Here's more of the very funny Joel Kim Booster.
Let's talk more about food. Are you a foodie?
No. I certainly wasn't a foodie going into this show. It was sort of a random pick. Like, I couldn't believe they wanted me. And I think that's part of the reason why they picked me is because the show is like about accessibility, you know, and showing that this food from everywhere we ate, from the Michelin star restaurants to the more like humble and rustic restaurants, it's all accessible. None of it's pretentious. None of it is, you know, you don't have to come to the table with an understanding of food to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And so I really went, I'm an audience surrogate in that way because I go on that journey and I discover that for myself. You know, I ate at my first Michelin star restaurant in this show and I was sort of like really taken aback about by how accessible it was and how it didn't matter that I didn't have a super well-developed palate. Good food is good food. Right. And I think that's Dave's mantra, and now it's mine. I will say, since we wrapped and the strike happened, during the strike, I started cooking for myself and teaching myself how to cook because I realized I didn't have any hobbies other than media consumption. Mm-hmm. And I saw a TikTok that said that was bad. So I got myself a cast iron pan, and I started teaching myself how to cook via YouTube. And it's been really gratifying and really fun. And my poor boyfriend has had to try a lot of flop meals. But beyond that, I've also had a lot of really successful ones. And I've really surprised myself as someone who has blended chicken in the past as a meal to now make a chicken pot pie in a cast iron pan is pretty impressive for me. And I'm really, it's like, it's one of those things. And it's nice because it's like, you know, I turned all my old hobbies into a career. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to have something just for me now. And it's really made me appreciate food in a completely different way.
So what's the worst thing you've cooked for your boyfriend?
I made this this like pilaf Mediterranean pilaf with chicken thighs. The thighs were over. The pilaf was too salty. It was inedible.
What? So what is the best meal you've ever had?
The best meal I've ever had. Wow. There's a restaurant in Mexico City called Pergote.
Okay.
It's P-E-R-G-O-T-E. Or I'm sorry. No. No E at the end.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's very tiny. There's I think 4 tables at it.
Oh, wow.
And you can see it's they're on the street, the sidewalk. And you can see all the chefs working in it. And it's a tasting menu. You know, it's like we ordered everything off the menu, but everything is fresh, locally sourced, delicately made. Wow. And it is so bomb. It was the best meal I've ever had, I think.
What's your least favorite food?
You know, I'm not a picky guy. I'm trying to think of what my boyfriend would say to this question, because he would know better than I would. I really don't like melted yellow cheese.
Like the fake yellow cheese. Like
no, just any yellow cheese.
Any yellow cheese.
If it's white or otherwise, I will eat it. I will eat yellow cheese if it's not melted. But I don't like yellow melted cheese. I don't know why this has been a long-standing thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
Something about it doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, see, I hate mushrooms. I'm one of those people.
Mm.
I hate, despise mushrooms.
Yeah, there's not a lot of things, but that's just the weirdest thing.
Was that like a childhood thing? Did you not eat it when you were a kid? Yeah. Yeah, I don't like prepackaged sandwiches.
Hmm. Okay. I mean,
oof.
I've eaten sushi at Walmart, so, you know.
Brave.
I will eat a lot of things.
What city, if you get picked up for another season, what city do you want to conquer next? Obviously, the first season is all about Los Angeles, but where would you want to go next?
I mean, I don't think we even scratched the surface of Los Angeles, to be honest.
Yeah.
And selfishly, of course, I love to shoot in LA because I live here. But I think New York is the obvious choice. I think a lot, but I think a city like Chicago or San Francisco could be really great too. I think Chicago especially is a really underrated food scene. And it would be nice to sort of put a spotlight on some of those places, and San Francisco for the same reason.
Do we see a cookbook in your future?
joke one. Yeah.
Say it again.
Maybe that's my angle. Maybe it's a joke one, it's a comedy cookbook. Yeah, maybe you might have just given me a great idea. Maybe there is.
I'll take 10%. you got the cough too. Everyone has gotten this. It's just we're all sick right now.
Yeah. I just got over the flu. I'm so glad I was able to go to the Emmys. I was so laid out from the flu last week.
Dream dinner party. Who is going to be at your dream dinner party?
Wow. Okay, dead or alive?
Let's start with alive so we can try to make it happen.
Yeah, okay. then I guess it would be Coleman Domingo.
Okay.
Andrew Scott. B.D. Wong. And who's another one? I almost said someone who's not out, and I didn't want to. Okay.
I'm trying to think of who you're thinking of. I'm feeling I know who you're thinking of.
what's his face? Jeremy Pope. And then they all bring their best girlfriend, whoever that person is in their life. Because I have a staunch belief that every gay man has at least one, if not many, obviously, very close female friend that is their one. Even if you're a gay guy who has mostly gay guy friends or straight guy friends, I think even those types of gays have the one in their mind who's maybe from high school, mine is from high school that I've kept in touch with. But everybody has that really close female friend that just like gets them and gets and is like cool. And I think it would be really fun to have a dinner party with like all of those gays and then whoever that person is for them in their life.
That's another TV series, I think. That would be awesome, actually. Yeah.
And those, and I would also include in that, like, the gay guys that I know too. I chose like specifically four gay guys that I don't know. But like Matt and Bowen obviously would get the invite, Louis Vertel, like all of the crew would be there. But those four would be the guest of honor because I don't know who they are. And I would like to find out.
So there's been a lot of talk about stand-up comedians hosting award shows after Joe Coy and the Golden Globes. Ooh. Would you host an award show? What do you think about stand-up comedians hosting award shows? And is it just a thankless job?
Yeah, no, I would host one of the smaller, lower stakes ones. Like, get me in the WGA awards, baby. I'll host the PGA.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds fun. Like the Indie Spirits, I think would be really fun. I don't know about the Emmys or the Oscars or the Golden Globes or any of that. Like, that seems like maybe a little out of my weight class right now, but I do think that like they're just picking the wrong comics, you know. Yeah. Like, it's not a one size fits all thing. Like, oh, you're a stand up, so you should be able to do this. No, like, pick somebody who loves, who loves Hollywood. I mean, that's so lame to say, but like, I think that there are people like they keep picking these people who like are too cool to be there or think they're too cool to be
right.
there, and like. And that's why the ribbing and the jokes don't work, you know? Like, it's so possible for you to have really biting jokes at the expense of actors and have them laugh at it. I think we saw that every single time Amy and Tina hosted the fucking Golden Globes, yeah. You know? It is possible to do. And it's not because people have gotten more sensitive. It's just, like, hire somebody who actually cares about actresses. You know,
and yeah, I think Joe Coy, nicest guy, very funny. I think the problem was that the Golden Globe viewer doesn't really know him. So to see someone they don't really know making fun of people they know.
Yeah, right.
The joke's not there.
Right.
Well, there's something missing.
And the jokes, I don't know. Yeah. It's there was a lot of moving parts to that debacle, I think.
Yeah. Well, Joel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Seeing you. Pleasure.
That was Joel Kim Booster, and that's it for this week's Just for Variety. Thanks for listening. Until next time, make sure to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Mark Malkin. And for all breaking and exclusive Hollywood news, go to variety.com. Bye for now.